Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to a business. We have an awesome show lined up for you today. So myself and the team have been thinking, what can we give that's the most value from our recent trip to Hong Kong and from attending Token 2049? Now at the event, we had lots of great speakers, the likes of Charles Hoskinson from Cardano. And I think it's really important that we learn more about all the different speakers that were there. Another great speaker was Dahong Fei, the co-founder of NEO. NEO, for those who don't know, was and still is a blockchain catered for the smart economy. Now, NEO last year, well, 2018-2017, really had a lot of dominance in the market. Before being rebranded NEO, NEO was also known as AntShares. I believe NEO has been one of the longest running blockchains. It's not the most, but it's definitely up there, and it's built a massive community all around the world. So to hear more about NEO and what they've been doing and what their visions and outlooks are from being in the space for so long, I thought, and we thought together, that the most value will come from Dahong Fei's keynote from Token 2049. We hope you enjoy, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto Podcast. Let's go.
I'm very happy to be the first one in the afternoon to make the opener for the afternoon. My name is Dahong Fei. I'm the co-founder of NEO. Today I will talk a little about the history of NEO, before NEO, about myself, and then my understanding of blockchain and why it is so important for the future smart economy, and then what NEO will do in the future smart economy. We'll talk a little about when I was in college. I'm not a computer science major, but one of my hobbies in college is to dig into the deep level of computers. Because I went to college in 1997, that is the year that internet, people get access to the internet in mainland China. I started to play with a computer. I tried to crack the software hard disk lock in the computer labs and try to teach myself assembly language and then write my own hard disk lock and install it into the computers in the lab. So it becomes a real personal computer for me. So I spent a lot of time doing a lot of research and learning computer science. And then the other hobby when I was in college is economics. I came across a blog called New Institutional Era. This blog introduced me to the Austrian and Chicago School of Economics. So I became a free market believer. And then, magically, after almost 10 years, I discovered something very special. That something is called Bitcoin. It is also, I think I read it from a blog. Described how Bitcoin works, and then I instantly fall in love with it because it combines two of my hobbies when I was in college, that is computer science and economics. And I started to spend a lot of time research on it and to read the white paper, and I even registered a domain name. It's called mongox.cn. Anyone of you know mongox.com? It used to be the largest Bitcoin exchange in the world. And I decided to run my own business around Bitcoin, to run an exchange and link the order book with mongox.cn to mongox.com. Later on, that become a very, it's a proven business model, because one of the biggest exchanges today, Bitfinex, they're using the same model at the very beginning. They link their order book to a Bitstamp in Europe. And later on, they cut the link and they become an independent exchange. So that's the very early days before there's even a community or industry in China for blockchain or Bitcoin. Then, after 2 years of research or study alone, with the price rocket, with the price going up dramatically in 2013, there becomes a community in China. I decided to build up the community of blockchain, of Bitcoin. I started to organize meetups, started to organize conference like this, but much, much smaller, even smaller than the audience will be 20 or maybe 25. If the number exceeds 30, that's a big one. So we even invited Vitalik to China for the first time, and in China, he introduced Ethereum to the Chinese blockchain community. That's 2013. And after maybe 4 months or 5 months after Vitalik announced Ethereum, we decided to build our own blockchain. That is NEO. But at that time, it's not called NEO, it's called N-Shares. We are also inspired by, I believe, which is the first ICO in human history. It's called ASIC Miner. There is one Chinese PhD candidate. He's studying in a prestigious Chinese university for PhD. And he said that he has the ability to build an ASIC mining machine for Bitcoin. At that time, most of the mining is doing through GPU. ASIC miner is 10 times, if not 100 times, more efficient than GPU mining. So he said, he claimed that he can do that. But the only problem is he doesn't have the money to do so. So he posted a Bitcoin address and asked people to invest in his business idea. And he promised to give people a share to share the profit, the future profit. There are some people buy in, and they send him actually a lot of Bitcoins. That's 16,000 Bitcoins at that time. But it only worth about $150 at the very early days. And with that money, that guy successfully built a ASIC miner machine and a business around it. And he did issued shares, and the shares is tradable on a centralized centralized cryptocurrency exchange. And people made a lot of money. The price per share started from 0.1 Bitcoin per share to 5 Bitcoins in only a few months. And with that, during that time, the value of Bitcoin also went up several times. So people made a lot of money. But the problem is, they're doing it in a very primitive way. And later on, that guy, his ID is Frycat, just disappeared because he faced some business difficulty, some issue. And even the shares traded on the exchange, is cracked down by SEC. So every investors actually at the end lost their money. So we are inspired by the story, and we decided to build a blockchain for crowdfunding to better facilitate crowdfunding. So that later on becomes NEO. And NEO is funded by two co-founders. One is me speaking at a blockchain conference in 2014. And the other one is Eric Zhang. He's my co-founder. He's a technical guy. And when I talk and I tell him the idea, he very calmly said, yes, I can do that. And we decided to make it happen. One of the reasons why NEO is doing good on the market is because we have many innovations. It's quite different from other blockchains. For example, the consensus mechanism is very different. We are first in the world to use a BFT-style consensus. It's called delegated BFT. And today, many of industry practitioners are talking about STO. And a BFT-style consensus is perfect for security exchanges, for security offerings, because it offers, there is identity with the consensus nodes, there is a very good finality with the consensus. So DBFT is the consensus we used is very new. And also we have a dual token economic model. We have two tokens, the NEO token and the gas token. NEO is a stake. You can use it to vote, to do on-chain governance. And gas is a utility. You use it to pay for everything on the blockchain. For the transaction fees. And also our smart contract system is very different from other blockchains. You can use matured conventional programming languages like C#, like Java, Python, or JavaScript to write smart contract with NEO. And also the philosophy, the management model is different. We have a much stronger governance comparing to other blockchains. The NEO Foundation, reserved about 50% of all the tokens. And as of today, after 3 or 4 years, we still hold about 40% of the tokens. And in the coming years, we will gradually distribute those tokens to the community. And then, after the launch of Mainnet, after boosting the ecosystem, we held our first developers conference last year, 2018, January. It is in San Francisco, and about 600 people, most of them are developers, attended our first developer conference. They're coming from US, coming from Europe, from Asia, from every corners of the world. And this is our second developer conference. It happened in Seattle only 1 month ago. And about 400 or 500 developers attended the conference. And it's a very good experience. So today, NEO is having a very strong, very diversified community across the globe. This is the history of NEO, and I'm going to talk a little about the understanding of blockchain and why it will be the infrastructure for the future smart economy. First, blockchain is a distributed ledger. It's a distributed ledger technology, a DLT. And second, it is also a platform for decentralized applications. So people can build applications on top of this, on top of the blockchain. So it's a platform. But NEO is not a private platform. It's an open platform. Blockchain is an open platform. It's more like a protocol. So if you follow the protocol, follow the specifications, your implementation can directly talk to other people's implementation. It's completely open. So it's much like a network protocol, like TCP/IP. When we talk about TCP/IP, we think of internet. And a lot of people said that the traditional internet is for information. It is very good for delivering information. But it's not so good for delivering value. A blockchain is like a value internet. It's good at transferring assets, transferring currencies, anything have value. But my understanding of blockchain is more than that. I think blockchain is also a new institutional technology. An institution is a system that human invented to organize, to better facilitate production, facilitate the human society. Our legal system is an institution. Company is a kind of institution. Even marriage, even sometimes culture is a very loose institution. But blockchain is a new way to to form new institutions. We've seen many, any of you know DAO? The DAO that being hacked on Ethereum? The DAO is like a new institution. It's not a company, but it's some organization that is set up by the inventors and also obeyed by those rules defined by computer languages. Within human history, we have different different ledger technologies, and different technology will bring us different level of collaborations and economies. In the very ancient time, we are in primitive economy. It's a hunter-gatherer society, and because the ledger technology is so primitive, there's no way to define your property. So there's no real private property. All properties are egalitarian. And so the collaboration is only happen in a very small circle, maybe in your family, maybe in a kinship or a tribe level. And then we move on to agriculture economy. Within agriculture economy, we have new ways to record things. We have trolley sticks. People even invented a double entry bookkeeping. And with this technology, we have a better way to record ownership. And for the first time, we see a very limited private property ownership. Some of the personal properties belong to you, but the land, the means of production, belong to the king or to the Lord. And we saw a bigger level of collaboration. Collaboration happens at the township level. And then with a lot of inventions, we moved into a industrial economy. In an industrial economy, most of the societies are in their political system are either capitalism or market socialism. And we have new technologies like spreadsheet, like digital ledger, even distributed ledger to record things. And now we see a very a fine defined ownership. We have private properties, and only with this kind of new ledger technologies, we can have public companies. We can issue those tokens to all the retail investors across the nation. So the collaboration happened at a much larger scale, at a national scale. And what's next? I believe we are moving to the next phase of human society. We will see a new kind of economy called smart economy. And at the smart economy, everything will be digital. Every physical things will have its digital representative. And because it's digital, we can use computer languages to manage them. So everything will be programmable. We can program them. And because it is programmable, or every asset or every digital representative in different systems will be interoperable. So we won't have independent silos of information or assets. Everything can be linked together and interoperable with each other. With such kind of a linked network, if everything is in a one system or is controlled by one identity, it will be a disaster if there is anything bad happened to the one actor. So we really need a decentralized system. And this decentralized system, we don't need to trust a trusted third party. Instead, we trust the technology itself. And because it's decentralized, it will be transparent. It will be very inclusive. And the ownership will be very different. We have a new technology to record ownership. We don't need to 100% fully control or fully own something. We are seeing the model of a shared economy, like shared ride, like Uber, like a shared bike in China, the Ofo or mobile bike. We don't really need to own something by ourselves. We can share it with others. So we have a finer granularity of ownership. So with this new kind of ownership, the collaboration will happen at a very, very large scale. And we will have, for the first time, see a true international or global free market. And the government probably will become smaller. We will see new forms of institutions that will go beyond companies or any of organization we are seeing today. So what NIO will do? NIO is an open network for the future smart economy. And the smart economy so NIO is not just a blockchain, it's an open network. So we will work with other technologies like AI, IoT, cloud computing, and so on. And we will for the coming years, we will have a lot of improvement for the technology perspective and also governance perspective. For technologies, we will have a new version called NIO 3. We will have a completely new architecture. We will have better layering, so people can build layer 2 solutions on top of NIO. By the way, I do believe in the next maybe 2 or 3 years, layer 2 solutions will be a huge thing. and we will have an optimized consensus mechanism. We will have new functionalities, so smart contract can directly access internet resources within the blockchain. You don't need to rely on the third-party oracles. And also, we will improve our security. And also, we will have different infrastructure modules like a distributed file system, like an identity system. And then for governance, this is the current structure of new governance. We have the new foundation. The foundation is responsible for strategy and financial. And also we have two branches. One is called New Global Development. And the other one is New Global Capital. NGC or New Global Capital is the investment arm of New. They're doing very well in financial performance. And for the coming years, we have in 2018, at the first developer conference, we announced NIO's mission. NIO's mission is to make NIO the number one blockchain by 2020. So that's about 1 year's time, or 2 years' time, depending on how you define 2020, the beginning or the end. But we need to define what is the number one blockchain. We don't think the blockchain with biggest market cap is the number one. We define number one to become the most favorable platform to build applications on top of it. Because at this stage, developer is still very, very important, the crucial element of a public blockchain. So we want NIO to provide the best performance, to provide a very diversified ecosystem, and to be compliant ready, to provide compliance solutions. To meet that goal, we need to have something new. So we decided to set up a new office in Seattle. That's the first time we started a office outside of China. And Seattle office, NGD Seattle office, will be led by two former Microsoft executives, and John and Huang Peng. John is a former GM of Microsoft Digital, and he helped Microsoft Digital to grow from zero to a half billion business. My last slide will be to answer a question. I've been answered a lot. What is the difference between NIO and other blockchains? And there are many answers, like there are different consensus, different economic model. But the key factor, I believe, is the philosophy. At NIO, the philosophy of NIO is called pragmatical idealism. I'm a believer of progressive decentralization. At this stage, blockchain is still evolving very quickly. I don't think fully decentralized is the only way to do blockchain right. We still need to be very efficient to upgrade the software, to change things on the fly. So at NIO, we are more centralized than blockchains like Bitcoin or maybe Ethereum, but we are slowly in a decentralization process. I very appreciate the quote from a motivational speaker called Simon Sinek. He said, pure pragmatism cannot imagine a bold future, and pure idealism cannot get anything done. It's the delicate blend of both that drives innovation. So let's keep the hard work, and let's work together to make the magic happen. Thank you very much.
Now, whether you're a fan of NIO, a fan of Ethereum, a fan of EOS, whatever fan you may be, or whether you're just a fan of blockchain in general, I think that Hongfei hit some really interesting points there about the smart economy. And this is something that obviously they've been focusing on. So it's really interesting to hear his thoughts and his opinions on this. But I think it's really interesting to get all the different thought leaders' views and really to see how they see this world building out and how in line that is with your view. We're all here to help each other. We're all here to push each other on and to learn from each other as well. So I think it's really interesting. And, you know, the future I see as being not necessarily about what blockchain you're using, but not knowing that you're using blockchain at all. It's in the background. And I think that's one of the most exciting parts about this. And that's something that we're looking forward to the most. We're seeing so many different applications at this current point in time building out on the likes of EOS, for example. But the consumer, the users of the dApps or the users of the websites or the users of whatever function it may be, the buyers, have no idea that blockchain is being utilized. They just know that it's a safe and transparent process with no middlemen attached to it. And I think that's so exciting, so interesting. And that's what's really powerful about this. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. We've got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time and attention. As always, if you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto podcast. Give us a review and rating. Hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd. Type that in. You will find us. Myself and the team are very active on Telegram. And if you have any questions or you have any interesting deals you'd like to bring to our attention, feel free to email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. Oh, and by the way, if you're in London town on March 26th, we have an awesome event taking place. The event itself is going to be titled When EOS Rules the World. The lineup for that are as follows. We've got Rob Finch from CypherGlass. We've got Fred Anderson from EOS Bet. We have Fred Ngozia from Pixios. We have Roshan from EOS Authority, with Robert Allen from EOS Stack, with Jay Chung from HK EOS, and you have myself, Shane Kehoe, and Oliver Mayer, all from SVK Crypto. It's been an action-packed event. Head over to our Telegram for more information. With that in mind, that's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.